Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. We are just delighted to have you worship with us and join us today, tuning in with us, those of you joining us by television, those of you joining us at airjesus.com. Stay tuned to today's message. We're doing part two, something we started last time entitled Discovering Your Greatness. I'd like to just read a little humor, and I'm doing this for Dexter's sake. I told Dexter last week I didn't use any humor, and Dexter got on me, so I pulled some humor out today. But so this is for Dexter, Dexter only. The rest of you all can just listen in. So I should only hear one person laugh, and that's Dexter. These are some actual court reports that different court reporters around the country actually recorded live. So these are live conversations either between the judge and the witness, or an attorney and the witness person on the witness stand. But these are live, actual responses and questions. And some of the questions are humorous and some of the responses are humorous. Here's the first one. This is from the judge. And the judge says, "Well, sir, I have reviewed this case and I've decided to give your wife $775 a week." The husband responded, "That's fair, Your Honor. I'll try to send her a few bucks myself." Keep in mind, these are real responses. These are actually real questions and real responses. "What is the date of your what is your date of birth?" "July 15th." "What year?" "Every year." "What gear were you in at the moment of impact?" "Gucci sweats and Reeboks." "Did you blow your horn or anything?" "You mean after the accident?" "No, before the accident." "Sure. I played for 10 years. I even went to school for it." "Now, doctor, isn't it true that when a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until the next morning?" "She had three children, right?" "Yes." "How many were boys?" "None." "Were there any girls?" "You said the stairs went down to the basement." "Yes." "And these stairs, did they go up also?" "How was your first marriage terminated?" "By death." "And by whose death was it terminated?" "Can you describe the individual?" "He was about medium height and had a beard." "Was this a male or female?" "Is your appearance here this morning pursuant to a deposition that I sent to our attorney?" "No. This is how I usually dress for work." And that is all of them. I hope you enjoyed. That was for Dexter. You all thank Dexter for the humor today. Open your Bible, if you will, for a couple of scriptures that we used as our text last time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we also use 1 John. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we also use 1 John, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and also put your finger in 1 John. 1 John is just a couple of books right before the book of Revelation. You'll see 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We're looking at 1 John. So 1 John chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read that together in unison. Ready? read, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Notice that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So notice that we have treasure. We have this treasure on the inside of us. So it's what it's letting us know. There's something that's valuable. There's something of great worth on the inside of us. And it's there by God so that that God will get the glory for it. But it's something special that he has put in us, and it's treasure in earthen vessels. Now also look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Notice, let's read that together in unison. 1 John 4, 4. Ready? "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Notice that. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And so here we find that the greater one lives in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The greater one lives in you." And because the greater one lives in you, I believe that greatness is on the inside of you. And so we're using as a subject part two of discovering your greatness. Discovering your greatness. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 that we have this treasure. We have something on the inside of us of great value, that's valuable, that's of heavy worth. And here we see, we found out what it is, more specifically, here in 1 John 4, 4, is God on the inside of us. He is the greater one. And so that greater one who lives in us, he also brings his greatness. And so there's greatness on the inside of you because he's on the inside of you. He's the one that created the landscape of the universe. There is greatness on the inside of you. It was his ingenuity. It was his ingenuity that sculpted the earth, that causes it. If only you understood all of the scientific things that went on to make the earth spin on its axis and to be perfectly balanced in orbit. If only you understood all of the molecular scientific, if you just understood the calculations, the preciseness, the architectural structure of things, if you understood the physics that were involved, if you understood all of the mechanics and all of the brilliance, all of that, folks, is on the inside of you. The greater one is on the inside of you. And because the greater one is on the inside of you, greatness is in you. Ingenuity is in you. Creativity is in you. Answers are on the inside of you. Solutions, ideas are on the inside of you because the greater one lives in you. The greater one lives in you. I heard Pastor Dale on TBN the other day, and he made this statement and it caught my attention. He said, "People are looking for things all out here. They're going after this and they're going after that. They're searching for this, searching for something great, trying to do something here, trying to find that, trying to accumulate. You know, they're going after all these things out here." And he said, "All alone, you got acres of diamonds right here. If you can only learn to mine the acres of diamonds that are right here on the inside of you, the acres of diamonds that are right here on the inside of you." So there's greatness right on the inside of you. And you know, you'll find that sometimes it's hard times that will bring the greatness out of you. That's why I told somebody not too long ago, I said, I actually enjoy hard times because it's the hard times that bring out the greatness out of me. It's the hard times that really make me think and strategize. It's the hard time that really brings out of me things I didn't even know I could do. I learn my greatest skills in the hard times. I figure out things in the hard time. You can come up with stuff in hard times. So thank God for hard times. Thank God for hard times. It's something about the hard times that stirs up the greatness on the inside of you. Stirs up the greatness on the inside of you. So look at your hard times differently, because it's in those hard places that God allows you to be, because he's trying to bring out of you something that's on the inside of you, something that's on the inside of you. So we're talking about discovering your greatness. You are engineered with seeds of greatness. You're endowed with incredible gifts and abilities. And the thing that I really feel God impressed upon my heart is that we're not to be content to stay where we are in life. We're not to be content with the status quo, but to challenge yourself, to stretch yourself, grow, go to new levels, dream some big dreams, dream some bigger dreams, become all that God intends you to be. I read about a group of tourists, and they were in a village in Europe, and they asked, one of them asked one of the elderly villagers there, they asked him this question. They said, "Have any great men been born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies, only babies." In other words, he said, you're not born great. You got to stretch for greatness. You got to stretch. You got to do something to become great. You got to stretch. You got to challenge yourself and go to different levels and grow and mature and go through some things in order to become great. So don't be content to stay where you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be content to stay where you are. Challenge yourself. Go to some new levels. Dream some new dreams. Some bigger dreams, become all that God intends for you to become. I like something that Philip Brooks said. He said, "Sad is the day for any man when he becomes absolutely satisfied with the life he is living, the thoughts he is thinking, and the deeds he is doing. Until there ceases to be forever beating at the door of his soul a desire to do something larger, which he seeks and knows he was meant and intended to do." I love that. There ought to be something knocking at the door of your soul, something scratching at the door of your soul for you to do something larger. You know it. How many of you have ever had a moment where you felt in your being that there was something greater you should be doing? That there was something greater out there for you, that you're not really utilizing all that there is, that there's something more, and you can tell, you know it's something more. There's something there, and you can tell it, you may not can put your finger on it, but there's something there that's not quite satisfied. You know that there's a large potential that's untapped. You know. Anybody ever had that feeling? You felt the greatness beating at your door, didn't quite know how to describe it, but you knew that there was something more to life. There was something more to your existence. There was something more for your reason of being here on this earth, not just punching the clock, but you knew that there was something more. There was something more to validate your existence and your purpose, something worthwhile, something big, something great that you're to be involved in and a part of and to do and to use. God has placed within each one of us something that cries out to be extraordinary. I think there's something in all of us that cries out, if we're really honest with ourselves, something on the inside of us cries out to be extraordinary. I think about some of the great men in the Bible when they didn't even know that they were great. But I just imagine that something was crying out, knocking at the door of their soul. I can picture David when he was just a shepherd out there with the sheep. And I know he, without a shadow of a doubt, something was scratching at his soul that he was to be greater, that there was something, a greater destiny, a greater purpose for his life. He probably couldn't quite put his finger on it, but he could tell. I'm sure Joseph, when he was in prison for 14 years, I'm sure that he would grab those bars from time to time, and he knew that there was something greater he was destined for. He knew it. But I believe that there's something on the inside of all of us that cries out to be extraordinary. I believe there's something that scratches at the door of our soul to do more, to be more, to have more, to do something great in life. I had a young man that emailed me something, and it was actually Adonis, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing this, but I kept this email, and I want to read this portion of it, this email, because it deals exactly with what I just said, where there's this feeling there of something great on the inside, where there's something you know that you're destined for. And Adonis emailed this to me probably a week or so ago, and I just want to read a portion of it. Let me read that quote again. Sad is the day for any man when he becomes absolutely satisfied with the life he is living, the thoughts he is thinking, and the deeds he is doing, until there ceases to be forever beating at the door of his soul a desire to do something larger, which he seeks and knows he was meant and intended to do. And I want to just read this portion of this email from Adonis. He says, I want you to know that I am not an ordinary man. Trust me when I tell you this. I am powerful beyond measure. If I told you I was going to convert more than half the world's youth to Christ, would you believe me? I tell you this will happen. I need you to believe me because I am very valuable to the kingdom of God. I feel it in my heart and soul that I am chosen to free not only youth, but people from the evil strongholds that Satan's music has created. Isn't that powerful? That is so powerful. And he didn't know I was teaching on this, but that just grabbed him because it was right in line with something was scratching at his soul. Something there he could feel he was destined to do something great in the kingdom of God, to do something more and to become more. And he was simply reaching out, sharing that dream, sharing that desire, sharing that feeling of greatness down on the inside of him. I had a young lady who contacted me, and she told me, she said that she had just gotten involved with something bigger than she was. And it was so fulfilling. It was so freeing. It was so satisfying. She said she had come across a group of 50 teenage girls who were homeless here in this city. And she had developed a mentorship program to begin to not only to meet their physical needs, but to begin to mentor them, to begin to help them to grow and to mature and to find their purpose in life and to get on the right track, to have that nurturing and that development. And she said, this is bigger than I am. And she said, I feel so alive. I feel so powerful now that I'm a part of something greater than myself. I think all of us, we all have something on the inside of us that somebody needs. God built us that way. There's somebody that needs your touch. There's somebody that needs something that you have. God engineered greatness on the inside of you. We ought to be thinking of ways to impact the world. And that begins with just one person. When you impact one person, you are impacting the world. And there's something in us that is great, that scratches at our souls, something special, something that is unique. I like something that Whit Hobbs said. He says, success is waking up in the morning, whoever you are, wherever you are, however old or young, and bounding out of bed because there's something out there that you love to do, that you believe in, that you're good at, something that's bigger than you are, and you can hardly wait to get at it again today. Something great. That's having a vision of something great that you've attached yourself to, that you've tapped into this greatness, discovering the greatness that's on the inside of you. And I want you to know, some people, and Pastor Nathaniel, he mentioned this, some people feel like they're too old, you know, that they've already passed their prime and they're just too old to do anything great. They're too old to start anything big. Let me, he shared something. I want to share a few with you. Moses was 80 years old when he led 3.6 million people out of Egypt. 80 years old. Caleb was 85 years old when he said, Lord, give me this mountain. Colonel Sanders, as Pastor Nathaniel mentioned, he was 70 years old when he developed that finger-licking good chicken. 70 years old. And a lot of people don't know this. After he sold the rights to Kentucky Fried Chicken, he sold it. He sold his image and his rights to it. He actually, later on in his life, he probably was in his 80s, he started another chicken company. Most people don't know that. He started another because he had already sold his image and his rights to Kentucky, and they said, you can't use that. But he wasn't done. He was in his 80s. He said, doggone it, some still scratching at me. And he went out, he started another chicken company, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. You research it, just find out what he did. He was in his 80s when he started the second one. He wasn't done, but there was some scratching in his soul. Ray Kroc, he was over 70 when he introduced a Big Mac to the world. He was over 70. Casey Stengel was 75 years old when he became the manager of the Yankees baseball team. Picasso was still painting at age 88. George Washington Carver was 81 years old when he became the head of the agriculture department. Thomas Edison was 85 years old when he was still inventing. John Wesley was 88 years old, still riding horseback and still preaching. And so you're not too old to begin something great. You're not too old to continue something great. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not too old. You're not too old. You're not too old. But in terms of discovering your greatness, and I'll leave you with this for this week. Ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself some questions to begin to discover your greatness. What is it that makes you cry? What is it that touches your heart? What is it that makes you sing? What is it that gives you joy? What do you dream about? What are you good at? What type of person are you? Are you an introvert? Are you outgoing? What do you have a knack for? What are your experiences? What are you interested in? Ask other people around you, what am I good at? What do you see in me? Other people oftentimes can identify your strengths even better than you can. Ask God, pray, ask God, seek God for your purpose, for that seed of greatness. What did he call you to do? These are just some beginning questions to begin to ask yourself, and we may continue sharing some things in part three of discovering your greatness. I want to thank those of you who are joining us today. I want you to go to airjesus.com. You can listen to this message in its entirety. You can also email it to a friend absolutely free of charge. And we would like to thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
This ends message number 7441 by C. Elijah Bronner. To send this message, Discovering Your Greatness Part 2, number 7441, to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This has been message number 7441. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often, and keep your spirit charged up.